Hey guys, is anybody there?
Hello?
Hi, Mike. Can you hear me, Mike?
This is Don Bryant.
Oh, hi, Don. I thought you were
Mike.
Hi. Are you in Juneau?
Yes.
Awesome. Do you have access to a computer screen right now or not?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I just sent an email with some attachments of, Title 8, the resolution, and a couple other things. So if you have access to that, you can open them. But I just emailed it, so I've got paper copies here as well.
Nice. I have them.
We'll get started in a few. So, I'm sorry I got distracted. I'll be at a family emergency, so
oh.
You won't be able to call in today.
Oh.
I'm really glad he's there. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm sorry. I was just saying, Mike Hubbard's had a family emergency, so he won't be able to call in. And I could have told you earlier, but I got distracted.
Like Chacuna's website, they charge $75 a year for launching.
Yeah, you saw the documents, right?
Yeah.
And out.
Juneau charges $90.
Well, that was interesting. They had a code of conduct provision in the code there.
It's kind of warm.
Barry, how are you?
Oh.
Very similar. I mean, basically, it's,
It's like they
follow the rules and behave.
Like they've had to deal with similar issues.
Yeah, I can imagine down there.
Hey, thank you for coming. Jesse, your dad's got you starting out young, coming to city meetings.
That's... Actually, I wanted to come, so.
Okay. I don't even have a reply to that. That's good, though. Break them in early.
And you'll be Gus Davis's youngest mayor someday.
There you go. No, you don't want to go that way. Vice chairman. I've heard too many things from my grandma about that.
No.
We got time. Okay. Press the right one.
Hi, Joe. I didn't see you sneak in there. Yeah, a bunch of stuff they gotta pay for, I guess.
What's happening?
Holy moly. $10 a day for my boat now. Tied up in what I used to do.
In Juneau.
In Juneau.
Yeah.
Used to be only $5 a day. Now it's 10.
Yeah, I think when I was there this last summer, it was 24.
For your boat?
Yeah.
24
a day. Yeah. Just the ramp use was pretty surprising, just to use the ramp.
$90, yeah.
Then you know you're probably going to go over to the transit.
You have to. You have to.
They get you.
Anybody know when Ben's coming back?
Yeah, he's actually coming back early. I think he's going to be back later this month. He won't be working with the city, but he'll be in town.
Don Plum? Oh, that's right. You're not here, Don. Okay.
I pre-printed the motions to get them out there. So if you want to do one, want to do the other? Okay.
We were talking about Douglas Harbor last night. It's like the armpit of the harbor system, partly because of the weather. It's just awful.
Better than it was.
Douglas Harbor. Well, it's wind, but yeah.
At least you got floats.
They have floats. It's just, you know, so our comment was, I wonder if it's cheaper. It used to be cheaper to be in Douglas Harbor. It does not look like it's cheaper any longer.
Anymore.
Yeah. Well, they're just so jam-packed on that. Okay. Jim Kearns, welcome. Hi. We're getting to be kind of the hot item here, don't you think?
Yeah.
Well, it is January.
What else you got to do, right?
Ben, are you on the line?
Ben, not just Don.
Oh. Who was on?
Don. Brian.
Oh, Don. Don, are you there?
Yes.
Don.
Hello.
Are you
I'm in the box.
Everything okay?
Yeah, pretty good.
Okay. Pretty good. Well, just let us know. Everybody ready to go?
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for always. Yeah, well, it's a little hard to do
it much. Well, don't start crying yet.
Yeah,
I know. I'm getting frozen. All right.
Hey.
I'm going to call this meeting on the Marine Facilities Advisory Committee to order January 8th, 2020, 10 a.m. And it's not by Mike Halbert, it's by me. Mike is not able to join us this morning. And there is 1, 2, 3, 4 members of the public. I'm not sure if you're actually public, but you okay. So there's 4 members of the public.
Well,
you're public. Would you call the roll call, please?
Calvin Cassapit?
Here.
Don Bryant?
Here.
Don Bryant? Good.
Justin Marchbank?
Yes.
And Colleen Canterbury. Okay, there are 4 members present in the quorum of this. Okay.
So we don't have any minutes to approve from the last work session. So public comment on non-agenda items.
public comment, public? No.
I have a question.
Public comment, but you will have a chance to comment on the agenda item, public? Okay? Yes.
Do we have an opportunity as a committee to comment on other items that
yes.
are okay?
I just asked. Do I call you just Karen, or are you like, now that we're official, Madam Clerk?
That would be the official term, but.
So, Madam Karen. Then, and where would that go in? Before?
That usually would go after, before adjournment.
Before adjournment.
Yeah, so I can put that in.
Okay.
So, you have the
yes.
agenda item?
Yes. Jim.
So I do have one comment. This is Jim Kearns on non-agenda items. So, I just want to see if this body is one that we deal with for, like, if I understand correctly, when they redo the dock spring, they're going to take out the sheet pile that's currently in there, and that's not going to go back in, if I understand correctly. And I'm wondering who came up with that plan and why. And maybe somebody here knows what's going on, maybe Tom does. Second part of that is been in contact with Chris Miller and then also our legislative people, you know, trying to figure out why they don't put some sort of sheet pile when they come in here, when they have all the facilities to do it, why they can't figure out a way to put some sort of wave barrier in there that face, you know, along the face of the ferry terminal, the ferry landing. So that our facility has a reasonable chance of being a safe place to operate, whether you're a charter boat operator or whether you're just a, you know, citizen of the city. And
which I think is a really good question because it's been brought to our attention by, I guess he would be called the contractor who's going to do this, Chris Hart. That because they're going to take that floating piece out from underneath the pier, that there's not going to be anything there to break up the southwesterlies. So I can't answer that. Tom, can you answer why the sheet pile wasn't?
So do you want to go ahead? Normally when you have public comment, the public makes their comments. And
when we move on?
Then we move on. If we have to, we want to address questions or comments, we do that. You guys do that at the dais, but this is pretty informal, so, I mean, as long as the parliamentary person doesn't kick me under the table, I'm happy to respond.
I don't have any cash on me. So, you know my feeling about that. I feel like people that bother to come to public meetings should be heard.
So, parliamentary procedure says that you can ask clarifying questions and stuff like that, but it's also up to the chair to decide whether
So, Jim, would you be satisfied if we looked into that?
Well, I can respond.
Back to you? Oh.
I have some information on it.
Okay. Let's let Tom give you some information then.
All right. So that was a good question that we brought up when they first introduced the design and told us they were going to take the sheet piles out. I asked Kirk, I said, well, you know, we have these horrible storms that come in, and it's caused all these problems before. Why not build a breakwater or do something that would help offset the impact of the waves? And I was told that they have a new design for the pilings that will prevent the damage to the floats from the storm activity. That's why they're not putting anything in.
Okay.
Now, he was supposed to send me a copy of the design plans of what the piling's supposed to look like,
yeah.
Whether they have, you know, some movement in them or whatever. But they never did.
Why?
Yeah, so, you know, you would think that they're going to put all that money in, that they would have learned something from the last time they put that in, and maybe they have a level of confidence that this is going to hold up. But that was a response to the question. It was. You know, I'm not an engineer, obviously. Mike was there at the meeting, too, Mike Taylor. So we didn't have any better information than that. We could always, you know, do more follow-up.
Well, so my understanding of the contract, the it's a done deal now at this point.
That's right.
So, but these are the same people that we told over and over and over again that breakwater, as it was, would fall apart, that the ferry terminal part would fall apart, but they didn't believe us because they just didn't understand the kind of wave action that we get there, you know? And so now they're going back and fixing stuff, so.
Yeah.
Jim?
Obviously, storms would be a big factor. And frankly, I talked to Kurt Miller, and he said that the understanding will be that the float that they're bringing back over that's going to be our float, you know, the old breakwater float. The understanding is clearly with them. When he talked to me, was that that would have to be taken out every fall. There's no even idea that you'd leave that in there. So obviously then there's nothing there at all for, you know, floats at all in the wintertime. But, you know, I was just talking about, you know, never mind the storms that come in the fall. You know, what about 4 or 5 footers that come in and all through the summer, you know, at different times? You know, those kinds of things when you have a lot of people down there and a lot of use on the facility. You know, in the wintertime, you know, just have to learn to use the river again or go over to Bartlett Cove. But what about during the summer when there's no wave protection at all, unless they have an amazingly huge thing there? And the way I see it, that float that they're bringing back in, you know, is going to be here, and that's going to be part of the dock that you pull up to. So on the windward side of that, you're just get it full force. It's nothing but a few pilings to break it up. So anyway, that's why the comment. So anyway, okay.
But I think it's a really good comment, because the other thing that's going to happen is, my understanding anyway, and I'm not an engineer, but I know that dock. I've crawled off of that dock before. That now we're dealing, instead of with several moving pieces, we're dealing with one rigid piece. And it's going to have a whole different movement, probably less kind than when you have several pieces that can absorb that. So I think it's a really good comment, and I think it's something we should consider or continue to address. But I think right now it's a done deal. But good question.
Hello?
Hold on, Don. Jim just needs to finish up.
The other end of the comment would be, you know, this body could do to take to the city. Did the city say, hey, we got to come up with some money somehow to put this in to make it a safe facility? Because who's liable on that facility now? If it belongs to the city has the liability. And if you have bad weather and people are down there trying to run a business that the city obviously wants us to do, we want to have business here, and then somebody gets hurt because you have this facility that is, you know, rocking around and rolling. And we fortunately never had a real, real serious injury, but we've had a few, and weren't in the doing mode, but, you know, or your boat's down there, it's at the dock, and all of a sudden a wave comes in and throws your boat up on the dock, and it breaks your boat, and now you're out of business. You know, is there something that we could get the state? The state's not going to do it. You know, they'll say to us, "There's no money. It's highway money. We can't do anything." Da 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 da. But what do we do? Couldn't we do something? And is there time? And and then you could say, well, the contractor is here, hey, listen, we came up with this, and we want you to put this in for us. And you might have to go through the Corps of Engineers. I don't know all that stuff, but I'm pretty sure that you would have to do Corps of Engineers if you're going to do anything out there. And but we do have some liability. The city has some responsibility to make it a facility that's safe, and that will segue right into what your agenda item is. So I have nothing else to say.
So I think we can talk about that. We can look at it. I think this is a good group to address that. So, Don, your comment?
Yes. Yes, regarding the sheet pile, I've been down there in the winter time, and the dock, because of the sheet piles taking the full brunt of the waves with no room to give, the dock is shaking to the point that you can hardly stand, and that's going to fatigue the wells and make the whole dock fall apart. I think they have to take the sheet pile out in order for the dock to survive. Over.
Okay. Okay. Well, we're gonna address this more at a later time. Okay. Any other public comment on non-agenda items? No. Okay. I don't believe we have any unfinished business.
Okay. Thank you.
So we'll move on to new business. The new business is the Marine Facilities Schedule of Fees. So I guess I have to ask a point of information here. This is just about fees today. We're not talking about the use agreement.
Yeah, we're doing the whole.
We're doing both.
Yeah.
So the Marine Facilities Schedule of Fees and the Facilities Use Agreement. And I would entertain a motion to request to the City Council at the January 13th, 2020 meeting recommendations to adopt updates to the 2020 Marine Facilities Schedule of Fees in accordance with Resolution CY20-1 as an agenda item. Is there a motion?
Madam Chair, I so
move.
I so move.
Okay, is
I
there...
I can either read that back, or if...
I don't think...
You have to read it for the record.
Okay.
Oh. Unless you have something different, I just did that to...
No, that's fine. I move to present to the City Council at the January 13, 2020 General Meeting recommendations to adopt updates to the 2020 Marine Facility Schedule of Fees in accordance with CY20-01 as an agenda.
Is there a second?
No second.
All right. Public comment about this particular issue. Schedule of fees.
Karen, can we put the schedule of fees?
Yes,
just
yes.
So,
Jim, have you had a chance to look at the schedule of fees? Okay. How about comment on the facilities use agreement? Public comment, facilities use agreement.
No, I thought we were on the schedule of fees.
I think we're doing both of them, aren't
we?
Put in a title eight is the facilities use agreement. Right.
Yeah.
So you want to do them in two parts?
Yeah.
Yes. That's
okay,
the
so
way
we'll
she's
do fees first.
Yeah.
I don't have the...
I'm trying to bring it up.
Yeah, I don't have the second one.
I think it's
the... Oh, yeah, I do. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
It's on the
my
resolution
bad.
On one
I
side.
See it. Okay.
Oh, okay. That's part of that.
I don't think I have a copy of that.
Maybe I took yours.
Oh, there it is. Sorry.
All I have is the cover sheet.
Okay. That's on the screen.
A copy of... Oh. So schedule of fees first.
Okay, and it's on the back side of the resolution that you have printed.
So basically, the change is from for commercial motorized vessel from $300 to $500 a year. That's the only change.
Well, the red part there under the commercial vessel, we're adding that as well.
So we're still on public comment about fees. I'm trying to give Jim a chance to...
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I have lots of
comments.
So I've called and talked to a couple of different of the charter boat operators. I'm a charter boat operator, of course. So I've paid the fees every year, $300, and I use the Bartlett Cove dock most of the time. So I rarely use this dock, to be quite frank, but I do the fees because it's part of the deal. And then when I got back here this just in early December, I was talking to somebody, and they said, yeah, the fees are going up. And I said, what? And they said, well, they're going up to 800. And I said, what? And then talking to one of the city councilors, she said it was going to 500. And I said, well, let's look at that. That's almost a 100% increase in 1 year. And that's pretty steep. And frankly, in talking to that city councilor, I said, so what's the background for this? What's thinking? And he said, well, the only thing that I heard in the meeting was that they said because the charter boat people can afford it. And I'm going, what? I can afford it just like anybody else, I guess. But, you know, so everybody is getting the benefit of those people that operate charter boats. Which, you know, they should pay, there's no doubt about it, but to have almost 100% increase, 8% increase in 1 year, that's pretty substantial. You know, if you for your budget, and I guess everybody can afford it because they're making lots of money, I guess, but I don't.
You guys,
comes to the books at the end of the year. So anyway, the comments from others that I talked to Forrest Braden, and he said, you know, yep, sure, you know, commercial operators should pay a fee. However, he says, what are we paying for? What is it we're getting for this $500? Is it just to move that fee over there or to be able to use the float? Or what is it we're getting? You know, what really is there? And do we have a safe float? What are we getting? A place where you can tie up and then go and moor out and... so he said, I just want to make sure I understand what we're getting for our 300 and then for our $500. And then Rob Hankins said he would get back to me, but he didn't. So he just said, well, that's a pretty steep increase for just boom, like that. And so that's what I say is kind of a pretty big increase. It's not across the board. You know, not everybody pitching in. We were already paying substantially more than anybody else, you know, for a private use boat. And so all of a sudden, then you have a 50% increase and no one else feels that. That hardly seems like a reasonable way to work with people. And I live here. You know, this is home for me. So I use it as a private boat as well. So my charter boat its use all year long could be, but then again, it goes back to the old thing is you can't use it in the winter anyway. It's not usable. So then you have to use the ripper and then the river facility, and then you just go to Barticle. Save you a lot of energy and time, effort, and safety issues. So, and then in the summer, that becomes an issue for people because if you don't have a permit, then you can't get in there. So the only thing you have is this option here. So, I think moving the float back and forth twice a year, that's pretty substantial to add to just one group of people. everybody's using that same float. Sometimes those commercial fishermen are sitting right there and they just leave the boats there. I mean,
some of them do.
And, you know, and a transit person comes in and there's nobody down there telling me, sorry, we can't do this or whatever, you know. So that would be my comment and the comments from.
And I appreciate that. And I appreciate you talking to other charter fishermen. I know Halbert's done the same, and unfortunately he can't be here today, but.
Yeah, what does Mike think?
You know, it's
the public comment has not meant to be a conversation back and forth.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Thank you.
But I've written down your comments, and we will, you know, I will respond at, in some other form. Okay. Any other public comments about fees? Okay, then we're going to move on to committee comments about fees. The committee have comments about fees.
I do. The whole intent of increasing fees, and originally we were going to increase the private strawberry sticker as well. I think the proposal was to $75 a year, which would be a 50% increase on the private strawberry sticker and corresponding to a 66% increase on the commercial, if I do the math right. But I
didn't really.
So I was all in favor of that. I spoke in favor of increasing the strawberry sticker for the private use just because of the very good comment from the public about sharing the burden, because moving that deal flow back and forth is going to cost us some more money, and the idea was to not, we weren't going to fund all of the cost of moving that dock back and forth, but at least this would try to, this would offset some of those costs. We'll cover them all, some of them. And I like the idea of it balanced between the private users and the commercial users, because it is a shared resource, and we do have an obligation to one another. So, actually, I'm uncomfortable with the fee schedule the way it is. I'm going to make an amendment when the time comes to put it back to 75 for the private vessels. It can be voted down, but I'm going to bring this to the council, too, as a council member as well. And I'm just being honest with you guys. But that's how I feel about it. The whole idea of this was to offset some of the cost of moving that float. I know there's problems with the removal of this sheet piling and what happens with the float after. I mean, we'll deal with that in the future. But what I'm trying to get at here is what we need to keep moving and keep moving us in the right direction. And here, we're trying to recover some of the costs of moving that steel float. And I think it should be shared. I don't think we should be taking it out on the charter vessel operators. But anyway.
Thank you. John, do you have a comment about fees?
I'm for keeping the civilian fee at the $50 rate, because most of those people just use the river. If you go to the dock and spent 24 hours or a whole week there, you would find that 90% of the use of the outer dock is by the charter fleet. Therefore, they should be the ones to pay. That's my opinion. Over.
Thank you. Justin?
Yes. So there's been significant pressure to get this going because of the time of year, people wanting to get in here to get their stickers, things of that nature. I submit that we sat a committee, I believe November 12th, at the general meeting. I believe that's when it occurred. scheduling things with different people, so we were unable to get a committee together for a while for whatever reason. In the meantime, on the December 9th general meeting, the city passed a resolution that addresses marine facility user fee. I think probably the gist of that was to relieve some of the costs that the landing craft people, you know, have to come up with, because the ferry's not going to be running. And so I think the intent was is the city would say that, you know, we're not going to charge the landing craft people, which seems like a pretty good deal. That was December 9th. On the same resolution was attached the fee schedule, which is what it is now. Those items were per the minutes. They were approved by the council on December 9th, unanimously. And so, in my opinion, if this were a panic item in terms of getting money together, the way this was done, it appears to me that maybe the council doesn't think it's a huge panic item to get these fees adjusted, because they have already approved the fee schedule for 2020. And so I would like to see a more thoughtful approach to how we set the fees, rather than just look at charter boats and private boats. There's other users. There are landing crafts, maybe barges someday. I am not in favor of sending a new fee of schedules to the council at this time when they already have one that's approved.
Okay. So then I guess my comment would involve a question. What changed? What information changed? What changed with December 9th?
December 9th was when the resolution was approved. Our committee was sat on November 11th. If this was a big concern, then this should the council shouldn't have taken action on this if they knew that we had a committee coming along, and this should have been sent to the committee for some sort of deliberation. If this was, you know, something we knew that was going to be important, if we were going to need a lot more money, then the committee should have been involved before it was voted on, in my opinion. That's why we have an advisory committee.
So was there some new information that came after December 9th?
Can I address this? Change in the marine facilities fees for the barge landings was done to just relieve the cost of the barge landing fees for the time that we're not having a ferry. And we had to do it before January 1st because the barges were going to start operating around January 1st. As far we know about the increased costs about moving the stock, up until now we've been handling that, it was just in the budget. We know we're going to have to pay for it. Now we're starting to start the budget process, and I'm thinking other people probably are thinking how we're going to pay for it, this additional cost. The reason we wanted to have a marine facilities committee is to help us work through all the issues that we're going to have to deal with because of the new dock, bigger dock. There's going to be more opportunities, that sort of thing. As far as, you know, raising the fees on commercial and not and private motorized vessels. We wanted this committee to weigh in on that and to talk about it and do exactly what we're doing here about talking to people in the community and all about those prices. The one thing to understand too is that these landing craft and barges, they're using the river. They're not using the dock out front. So in my mind, that's a little bit different. I'm not sure we can put those in the same category. The landing crafts and the barges aren't really using the steel float out front.
I don't think that's the issue as I understand it. So two things. One, the issue to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the issue to me is that this was presented to us as almost an emergency issue. That's why we've met every week for this is our fourth meeting. We met through the holidays. We have done our homework because it was presented. My understanding anyway was that we got to have the advice from this committee. We've got to have this before the council. You wanted it before the first. That really hasn't worked. But I felt that it was really important. It was, you know, imminent that we needed to do this.
It is.
But it's
done.
We
need the facility use agreement.
But on December 9th, the city council already approved a fee schedule.
The action was to waive the fee landings for landing craft and barges. It had nothing to do with anything else.
The fee schedule was attached to the resolution. There's the effective date.
So, you know, I don't want to get too far down the rabbit hole here, but I that was not my understanding. Maybe you said that, maybe I didn't. I mean, I'm certainly willing to take responsibility for not understanding that the city council had already voted on that. The other thing, which is kind of an aside, but I need to say it in rebuttal to your comment about the Marine Facilities Committee, perhaps the city was intending to revive the Marine Facilities Committee all along, but I came to you and said, you and the mayor and the harbor master were the de facto Marine Facilities Committee, and I felt that we needed to revive this committee in order to get more input. So maybe you were already thinking that. Maybe that happened coincidentally, but anyway.
Well, we're feeling
a little manipulated, I guess, is my point, to be blunt.
So let me put some context around some of the comments Justin made and the timing issues. First one, you're right, you came in and said, hey, you know, you really should have a committee to start talking about. At the time, it was the Marine Facilities Plan that I had floated out there that we wanted to try to combine resolutions and ordinances and put them all in one document. That's what started, I think, that conversation. And the council agreed it would be good to get the committee back in place. So we solicited, we got members, and then we wanted to set a meeting. As you remember, the meeting had to get delayed because you were gone, and you thought it was important that the harbor master be there, that he was going to be gone. So we initially said the committee will meet in March because that's when everybody will be back. Ben will be back. The committee members will be here. So I had initially said our first committee would be somewhere in March. The information about not having any ferries came to light in late fall, early winter, and it was recognized that we weren't going to have a ferry for 6 to 8 months. Tosh started talking about getting his landing craft up and running and start making some trips to Juneau to help keep us with our stores. And I thought that, you know, was a big effort. And perhaps the city council would like to take some action to recognize that and provide a little relief. So I suggested to the mayor that we maybe waive the landing fees for landing craft, at least during this period, to recognize that effort and assist. That's the whole genesis of the resolution that Justin's pointing out. We had to have the fee schedule because we are waiving the fee. The resolution is the document that promulgates that fee. So that November fee schedule resolution was primarily just to recognize the efforts of the folks that were taking their extra efforts to help us out while the ferries were gone. The Title VIII facility use agreement change in fees was a separate issue. We learned what it was going to likely cost us to move that steel float back and forth. Initially, we heard estimates of 20 grand, 18 to 20,000. Then council member recommended that we talk to Tosh and see if he could move it with his landing craft. I did so. We have a ballpark idea what it would cost him to move the float back and forth, looking at what additional labor might be to secure the float every time we had to move it over there. So we have an estimate somewhere $10,000, $11,000. So that was the idea of the dollar amount. So to help offset that new cost, a suggestion of raising the commercial fee and the private fee got us about $10,000. The Marine Facilities Committee met, decided on $500, which gives us like $4,500, given 20 commercial permits. So we have a little bit to offset that. Then we have the issue of the facility use agreement, which, as you know, we were trying to target behavioral issues down at the city floats. The facility use agreement was more of a contract. The committee said, you know, this would be better if we put it into Title VIII and codify it that way and have some kind of acknowledgement on the registration form. So what we have now is we have what was a facility use agreement or contract. Those elements were carried over into Title VIII as the edits are showing currently. We did not use the insurance or the liability language that was in the contract. So we have some changes to Title VIII, and we have changes to the fee agreement to address the calendar year 2020 documents. We won't actually expend any of the float moving money till fiscal year 22 because DOT is going to take care of it once they get the dock improvements. They'll move the float over for us. So we were looking at trying to change the behavior down at the floats and to help offset the cost of moving that float back and the steel float back and forth. The urgency came in because we were trying to get the facility use agreement and the fee change effective January 1, so that when folks came in for their stickers, they were paying the current rate, and we didn't have some people paying $500 if that got passed, some people paying $300. And when they came in to get their sticker, they had the facility use agreement that they had to execute at that time, so it was in place when they started operating this summer. The reason it became a critical date issue is because when you saw that what we were doing, you wanted to get the committee in play right away. Didn't want to wait until March. And that was fine, but we didn't have the harbor master.
But Tom, we came to you. Remember, we met here informally. Don Bryant, Mike Halbert, Justin and I. No. Sorry, Justin wasn't there. We came to you because you had canceled the December 3rd meeting. And this is not really pertinent to what we're talking about now, but...
Which, actually, Robert's Rules of Order
right.
says that you have to keep on.
But I do need to say this, because we came to you and said, we need to meet.
Right. I agree.
You didn't come to us and say, you know, we have this fee schedule raise on the books, and we really need your input.
That's correct.
So I kind of take exception to that, and I'll move on from it. I appreciate the, you know, history, because that might help, Jim understand a little bit about what the raise is about, and, you know, and I would say when we first started dealing with the issue, it was $800, the raise, the fee raise. So, okay. So I think we should get back to, there is a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. I'll go around one more time for comments from the committee members.
May I make a comment?
Yes.
So, two comments. One, this was adopted January 1st, but it can also be changed at any time. So we just have the effective date. We've done that before. And also, if you would like to make amendments to what you want presented to the council, then we could amend what we have here now. And if you decide that you don't want to present it to the council, then you can just vote it down.
Okay.
It won't go on the agenda.
Well, the council will still deal with it, but it won't have our recommendation.
Right.
Thank you. I believe you're you're very valuable. Thank you. Cal, comments from you about?
I don't have no more comments,
okay.
But when it's time to for amendment, I want to make an amendment.
Okay.
For me, I'm not interested in sitting here and amending that in a business meeting. I mean, obviously people can make their own suggestions, but I...
But when I make an amendment, you can vote it down. I mean, that's...
No,
that's
and that, yeah, I understand that, Cal. I'm not saying that I am not interested in that, so...
So, I need to understand, you're not interested in any further...
No, we have a motion, and, you know, I think I'm prepared to vote on the motion, so.
Okay. Okay. Don, do you have any questions or comments at this point?
No, I've said my piece. I'm ready to vote. I have to catch a plane, so I'm only on this meeting for another 15 minutes.
All right. So we should vote and move on to Title VIII then.
Unless you have an amendment.
I'm not going to amend it.
Okay. All right.
There's not enough support for it. I'm not going to waste time.
So then you call the question by repeating the motion, and then I'll do a roll call vote.
Okay. So so the motion is the Gustavus City Council has reviewed. Is that right? No. Never mind. Sorry. Start again. Where's my motion? I'm sorry. Okay. It's been a long night, you guys. Sorry. So the motion is to request to the City Council at the general meeting the recommendations to adopt updates to the 2020 Marine Facilities Schedule and
fees in accordance with Resolution CY20-01 as an agenda item.
Okay, Albert's not present. Marchbank?
No.
Hansberry?
No.
Bryant?
Yes.
Cassavet?
Yes.
Okay, motion is tied, and so it fails.
So let's move on. Don, we're going to move on to Section B, Title 8. And I'm going to so I'm going to read the motion.
So somebody will.
Okay, good.
I move to present to the City Council at the January 13, 2020 General Meeting recommendations for amendments to Title 8 Marine Facilities in accordance with the introduction of the City Ordinance FY20-12 Title 8 Marine Facilities Revision as an agenda item.
Is there a second?
Sure, I'll second it.
Okay. Discussion. I have a question.
Public comment.
Oh, sorry. Public, do you have a comment on the facilities use agreement?
Actually, Title 8.
Title 8.
There's no more facility use agreement. It's been written into Title 8.
Okay. So, but it is this.
This.
Which is what will be signed?
Which revision is it? Do we have?
I'm confused now. I'm
the
sorry.
Paper copy that I had on the table is the.
That's Title 8.
Yes.
That is Title 8.
So,
that's
but. But aren't we voting on the facilities use agreement strawberry signature page?
That's the you're talking about the registration form?
Yes.
Yes, it's part of that, yes.
Okay. Okay, that's the registration
form. Is that one here? Do I have one of these new ones?
No, you probably do.
If you have the packet, you should
have
everything.
Here,
I don't.
You do. Here, that's yours.
For you. Sorry.
No, it's me. I kind of picked up everything. Okay. So
the maker of the motion or the chair could explain what the motion is, and maybe that person could describe what the changes were in Title 8 and what that means. So either the maker of the motion or the chair could give a little description of what's happening here.
Would you like to do the description?
I can do that. As you all know, there was a facilities use agreement, a draft facilities use agreement that was written up by staff. I believe the committee decided that preferred to have that language in Title 8, and you can see the red additions there. On your paper copy, it shows up as a lighter text color. But basically, the elements of that facility use agreement has been written into Title 8, and that's basically all the changes to Title 8 that are here. The proposed changes of Title 8 come from that draft facility use agreement. Basically, this registration form that would be handed out has the signature of the operator, owner-operator, or what is it called? Owner-operator or
master.
Or agent that signs agreeing to abide by the code of conduct in Title 8.
And then
staff also prepared a single sheet that would be attached to the registration form that summarizes what would have been in a facility use agreement.
The three sections of Title 8.
The three sections of Title 8 that we modified.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, is that?
Yes, that's
enough?
Great.
There are additional edits. that we did to Title 8, like the definition of private vessel. And we are, so, I mean, it wasn't just the facility use agreement, but it is the things that you, that the committee wanted to.
Yeah, we changed the commercial fishing definition, the commercial use definition. That's what.
The other change was we removed the four conference call limit to four.
Yeah.
Some other minor changes since the last time that we had.
And my recall is that the committee was in agreement about most of these changes to Title 8.
So wait, I think we're, that was the summary. Now we need to go to public comment.
No, we're not at.
We aren't at my comment
we're
yet?
We're not at staff discussion. We're not at
okay.
Committee discussion.
Public comment. Yes.
I
Jim Kern.
I have a little comment, yeah.
Jim Kern.
Great, actually. I'm glad to see all of this kind of stuff that would be there and that would help everybody make it a better place to be, to work. Honestly, nothing on this part of it that I have no, that I have any problem with.
So that would go out as a unit. So you'd
right.
sign that top part, and then you'd keep the
right.
second part. So my, oh, any other public comments?
I think that's it.
Oh,
is
that it? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
It was all
up
front, yeah.
So committee comments on this motion? I have a question. So,
Colin, can I interrupt real quick? I'm sorry, I thought I saw Joe with his hand up.
Oh.
Okay, sorry.
Taking his notes.
Cool.
So my question is, if we pass this to recommend this document to the City Council, are we also saying that we agree to the $500 fee for the charbit?
Nope.
So the fee is not, that could be a separate issue if we want to address that, or the $75 public fee. So
the time to address and make a recommendation was we passed.
Right.
So there is going to be no recommendation of the council.
Okay. Okay. So, but this is still written with the $500 in there.
Right, I'll have to amend. This is the only thing that will get changed is the registration form,
okay.
not in Title 8.
Okay. Okay. Don, any comments, or are you on the plane?
No, I'm mobile, but I'm listening, and I have no comment. No comment.
All right. Justin,
I don't have a copy of the registration form. I
gave mine to Jim.
Thank you. Sorry.
I don't know if he has
it. Maybe I have it. I'm just not finding it. So I'm not sure. I know there were some suggestions made from Louis Sharman a day or two ago. I'm not sure if any of that is reflected in the new this draft.
It is.
I'm not. And so I haven't had
Hello?
Haven't.
Don, yeah.
On.
You're on.
Oh, sorry.
Can you do five more minutes?
Yeah, I'm just I'm moving around.
Oh, okay. Don't let TSA get you.
I haven't seen what else has changed. I was busy yesterday, and I wasn't able to look at this. I would assume we got a copy of it, but I haven't been able to look at what we're wanting to send to the council.
Okay.
It's my understanding that, and I could be wrong, that ordinance says that the recommendation would need to be presented to the council meeting, and that then the council would need to work on it. I wouldn't want the council to, you know, have to, they're going to have things that they want to look at, and I don't think it's appropriate to send this for, and maybe that's not the intention. Maybe the intention is that it's going to a work session. But if the intention is to send this to the council for the general meeting to make a decision on that day, I don't think that's the way it's done. I think it goes to a work session. I don't think the council adopts that right now. I could be wrong, but after speaking to three former mayors, that is consensus that I have gathered. And so, obviously, we're just an advisory council committee. I have not been able to go through this with the latest things. I know there were some typos, things like that, that, you know, can be picked up in other places. And I also understand that it can be changed. But that's my stance on this today.
Okay.
You can, or I can clarify that information.
So we did bring this to the work session and let them know that you guys were going to be on the.
I just want to say that while you did do that,
mm-hmm.
Our committee didn't have a business meeting to vote to send that to the work session. We kind of had a draw poll, I guess, if you will, of people that would, you know, what they're, if they were supported, didn't support it, whatever. But we told no, there was no business meeting, there was no vote taken to send that to the work session.
That's the purpose of this meeting.
Correct.
In order to get it as an agenda item on to take action on, that's why we're having this meeting. So we brought it to the work session, know that this would be a recommendation, and that so this meeting gets it on the agenda.
But that wasn't, we didn't vote to send this to
that's
the
what,
committee,
that's what
to
we're,
the council.
That's what the
that's
motion
what
is
this
on the
is,
table
that's
right
what
now.
That's what the motion is right now.
That gets it on the for the general meeting.
But the work session, in my opinion, I could be wrong, but the work session portion of that was not done properly.
That is your opinion. That staff doesn't share that opinion, and that's not really germane to the motion that we're talking about right now.
We're having a discussion about the motion, so yes, it is germane.
The next step of what the next step is not part of this discussion.
So the motion on the table is if we want this to go, if you guys want this to go on to the council for consideration of your recommendations. In order to do that.
And I was just backgrounding my reasoning for the way I will vote today.
Okay. That's okay. Okay. Oh, I remember what it was. The comments that Louis Charbon had were regarding the signature line highlighted in yellow, and so that is the, they were incorporated into that, and that's the only change from the last draft that you guys had seen.
The red stuff is
right, and plus the pages of Title VIII was added onto it since since we saw it.
The only thing that's changed since our last meeting was the red stuff from Lewis, the removal of the four teleconference meetings, and the one page that you guys asked be on the back of the registration form. Those are the only three. Oh, yeah, that's right. It was. Yeah. So those are the only three things that is different from what you guys saw at the last meeting.
All right. So I'm going to call the question. I'm ready to call the question.
Okay. So you do that by rereading the motion.
Oh, sorry. So the motion before us is to present to the City Council at the January 13, 2020 general meeting recommendations for amendments to Title VIII Marine Facilities in accordance with introduction of City Ordinance FY20-12, Title VIII Marine Facilities Revisions as an agenda item.
Sandberg.
Yes.
Marchbanks. Don Bryant?
Yes.
Cassapitt?
Yes.
All right, motion passes 3-1. For council comment here.
Okay.
On agenda item.
Okay. So, non-agenda item. I have something. So, Don, do you have any comments on non-agenda items? So, committee members' comments on non-agenda items. Is that where we're at, or are we at public?
I'm sorry, I messed up.
Council comments on anything. Or committee comments on anything.
Yes, thank you.
For you, Don.
Me?
Yeah.
I have no comments.
All right. Thank you. Travel safely.
Thank you. I'm going to be off. Over and out.
Thank you. Do I need to push something here?